Today's scripture reading is from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going to the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well."
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you again for this opportunity to be able to come back and share with you. And we have to continue to pray for Eileen and Pastor as they are recovering from the sickness. And if you can also take out your, outline, sermon outline here. And follow with me with your scripture, because I'll be sharing from there. How many of you here have in your life called out to God in desperation? We all have. We all have. I have many times over, because, and obviously, the last time I called out to God in desperation was when my wife was going through this, struggles with her tumor. Oh, by the way, I shared with you how she had tumor and all. And praise God, thank you for your prayer. Thank you for, many of you have been praying for her. The last word from the neurologist saying that she doesn't have the tumor anymore. Yes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Continue to pray, however, because she's really struggling with her memory loss. She can't remember a whole lot of things because of the impact of the seizures. And I still remember during the time for the last 3 years or so, especially about a year ago, during the night she will have a number of seizures, sometimes up to 5 times. It's not the grand mal type. It is the petite type. And during that time, because I know the impact, she wasn't aware of it, but I knew the impact on her. And I cried to the Lord. I said, "Lord, I really do not understand what was going on." And during that time, we sang songs like "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," "In the Stars He Sent His Word." That is sometime 2 a.m., 2, 3 a.m. in the morning. She wasn't aware of it, but she could sing with me. So instead of crying and complaining to God, we were just worshiping God. And obviously God have heard our cries, and thank you for your prayer for that. And we have moments like this that all of us have gone through, and we cry to the Lord. The scripture says in Psalms 50, verse 15 says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, I shall rescue you, and you will honor me." Jesus Christ and the disciples were on the way to Jerusalem. They were ministering. Before we do that, shall we pray? Ask the Lord to bless our time together. Father, we want to thank you for this opportunity of just going through your word. We pray that your Holy Spirit, Lord, will guide us and bless us, even as we want to listen to you, Father, speaking to us. Sovereign Lord, take charge, honor, and lift up the name of Jesus Christ in our midst. Even as we share, Father, we know that your Holy Spirit, we use the word to not only comfort us, to not only heal us, but also, Father, to continue to strengthen us. We thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus Christ and the disciples, they were on the way to Jerusalem. Verse 11 says, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. Now, that little word phrase over there is a loaded word because we all know the Jews and the Samaritans, they don't get along. They were like cats and dogs. The Jews regarded the Samaritans as half-breed dogs. They are not worthy even to be around. So that the Jews would avoid traveling through Samaria. So in this case over here, they were between Samaria and Galilee. And my first point that I like to share with you is seeing our daily lives and encounter as a divine encounter. So, and as they were going, the Jews the reason why the Jews hated the Samaritan was in about 720 BC. The northern Israel, the tribe of Israel, were taken by the Assyrians into captives. Some of these, northern brothers married with the Assyrians. And so because of that, even they offered to help to rebuild the second temple, the Jews themselves would not have nothing to do with them. So this animosity was going on for many, many hundreds of years. It reminds me the question that we have for some of us: how many of you have been hurt before? We all have, right? How many of you have hurt people before? We all have. Now, that the scripture always encourages us to what? To forgive and ask forgiveness. Why? Because unforgiveness inside our heart can become a poison in our lives. And here it encourages us again to remind us to forgive all our those who have hurt us, and also to ask for forgiveness, those people we have hurt. So as Jesus was traveling, verse 12 says, as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy. These 10 men, 9 were Jews and 1 was a Samaritan. They stood at a distance. We all know leprosy at that time, leprosy was quite common. When they have leprosy, in Leviticus, there was a clear instruction by God as to what to do with this group of people. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 13. Leviticus chapter 13 in the Old Testament gives us a very clear instruction why some of these people, those lepers, had to stand far away from the people. 45 and 46 says, the person with such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes. Let his hair be unkempt. Cover the lower part of his face and cry out, what? Unclean, unclean. As long as he has the infection, he remains unclean. He must live alone. He must live outside the camp. In other words, he has no possibility of joining to society until the person is healed. Now, as Jesus was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met Jesus. They stood at a distance. You know how far at least they have to be from the ordinary people? At least 6 feet apart. Now, if it is a windy days, they have to be at least 150 feet away from the ordinary people. They cannot mix because of the fear of infection. So as they stood at a very distance here, together they cried out, Jesus, Master. Jesus, meaning we know the name of Jesus, it means he saves. He saves us from our sin. Master, obviously, there's a sense of this group of, within the context over here, the lepers were thinking, because they have heard a lot about what Jesus has done, they were in their mind, addressing him as a healer too. He has the power to heal. Now, Jesus' master, have pity on us. You look, Jesus, at our condition. We are all helpless. We are on the way. Nobody wants to come near us. We are completely lonely. We are basically left to die by ourselves. So when Jesus looked at him, verse 14 says, when he saw them, the word saw here is an eye of compassion. A sense no longer just seeing a person without, just a person, but a person with a special need over here. And immediately he says this, go and show yourself to the priest. Most unusual word. Now, the only reason why you want to show yourself to the priest is because you have been healed. The instruction in Leviticus chapter 14, verse 2 and 3 says, if you, the person has been cleansed of leprosy, they are to show the priest so that when the priest also act as a health minister, declare them to be clean, they can rejoin the society. In this case, before they were healed, Jesus ordered them, command them to show themselves to the priest. Now, it is most interesting over here, as all of them obeyed the word and the command of Jesus immediately. They did not even question and said, Jesus, we are not healed yet. Why do you call us to go to see the priest? But instead, all of them went and obeyed what Jesus said, commanded them to do. Now, in those days, when you have leprosy, you are really, it is a sentence of death. It wasn't until 1873, Dr. Hansen actually identified the cause for leprosy, the germ which caused people to suddenly have all this problem over here, where they became completely disfigured. Some of them died as the bacteria attacked nerves ending and destroyed the body's ability to feel pain and injury. So these people, when they saw Jesus, they knew that was their last hope, because there is no other hope. It wasn't until in the 1940s, we completely have what you call found out something, effective cure for leprosy. In other words, for many thousands of years, these people basically died of these diseases. Now, again, when this lepers looking for, shouting at Jesus, have pity, and said, have pity on us, they were not looking like the, people were looking on the side of the road, looking for financial help. The homeless, you know, I need some help. At one time, Grace and I, we were in L.A. this young man was sitting there. He said, help needed. Please give me some money with a postcard there. I need some help because I need to get some marijuana. Can you imagine? That was it. But in this case over here, it wasn't that. They were looking not for financial help. They were not looking for food. They were not looking for anything. They were looking to Jesus. Jesus, do something miraculous with our body over here. So verse 13, as they cried out, as when they saw Jesus, they all cried out in unison. There is no time for pride or shame at all. And this is the only opportunity to get out of their misery, pain, and isolation, shame, and certain death. They have nothing to lose, but everything to gain. After all, they have heard of his love, power, and compassion for the needy, downtrodden, and weak. You did not, the scripture says, you did not get what you want because you did not ask. in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Verse 14 over here says, when he saw them, he said, go. Full of compassion, he ordered them to show them to the priest as was instructed. Unusual, because it is the only, when they were healed, they were asked to do that. Priests are public health minister, as they did not question or argue like sometimes we do when we go to see our doctors. We will argue to say, doctors ask us to change our lifestyle. We say, no, doctor, I can't do that. We want to have an easy pill and things like that. Over here, they did not even say a word. Command, they left for it. As they went, they were healed. There were many other instances where Jesus Christ demonstrated his power also. In chapter 5, verse 25, he said to the paralytic man, I tell you, get up and take your mat and go home. The man with the shriveled arm stretched out his hand. He did so, and it was completely healed. And then in chapter 7, verse 14, the dead widow's son, Jesus Christ, said, young man, I say to you, get up, and he did. And many other instances that shows the power of Jesus Christ, meaning to say, we worship not just a man, not just a human being, but God himself, for he has the life and power and is able to do beyond our imagination. Verse 14b says, and as they went, they obeyed. As they went, it probably didn't take too long. They did not, as they turn around, they walk a little bit among them on the road, and then suddenly things begin to change and transform. They begin to look at each other. Hey, your nose, what happened? It was missing. It is back again and more beautiful. Oh, look at your ears. They were all gone and eaten away. And now your ears is back. Oh, what happened? Your hair. Oh, what happened? Your shriveled hands, they are back. Oh, your legs. I thought it was missing. It's back. And then the whole 10 people scream, we are all transformed and healed. In fact, now they become more handsome and more beautiful than before they ever got this leprosy. Their body became like new. Their flesh, they were looking at it just like, no more wrinkles. Your eyes, one was missing, and now you have perfect 20/20 vision. And they were all screaming, praising God. And all of them, they were all heading towards to see the priest. One of them suddenly realized it was God. None other than God himself. And the scripture says, what did he do? And as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw he was, verse 15, he was healed. He came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Unlike the rest of the nine Jews, he did not see the priest first. Instead, he came back and saw Jesus first, praising God. Now, this is one of the most amazing story here. And the first principle, to draw from this principle, is this. First, what can we learn from our story here? First, seeing our daily encounter as divine appointment, verses 11 to 14. Often we take our lives, event in our lives as daily happening, and interaction between people as unimportant interaction. We often don't see as any divine significance at all. But in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 17, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 17. Do you have the verse there? Would you look at me? Look at that particular verse with me. It reminds us of this, 15 to 17. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish. Understand what the Lord's will for us is on a daily basis, moment by moment. And I like what one author said. It is like practicing the presence of God at all times. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15 also basically encourages us to do the same. The encounter between Jesus and the lepers reminds us that their daily lives encounter are actually divine appointment. They were just over the other day, my neighbor came to me and I was throwing away some rubbish into the rubbish bin, and my neighbor saw me and he came to me. I said, "Hey, how are you doing?" He said, he is trying to sell his house. He said, "Yeah, I'm well." And I said, how is the house sale going on?" She said, "No, not good. I haven't had any response yet." So we had a good talk, and I said, he's a non-Christian, and the wife is a Muslim. I said, "Can I pray with you?" So at that moment, I hold his hand, and we pray together and asking somehow God will guide them and help them to be able to sell the house. Now, the house is not sold yet, but I believe that because of that particular moment, somehow he has an inkling that God cares for him too. So, in other words, we as Christians need to make use of most opportunity God has given us. Now, we have many friends, family members, and strangers. When we meet them, ask God, what do you want me to talk to these people? Is there any blessings that you want me to bless them with? No, there are times when I often, see some of these homeless people. In the past, I would criticize them. I said, some of these people they look so young and, you know, and strong. They are kind of lazy, don't want to work and stuff like that. How many of you have said that kind of thing? We all have, all right? We make some judgment call. The Lord says, hey, instead of making that kind of judgment, call on them when you see them. If you are not helping them, pray for them at all times. So nowadays, every time I see anybody that needs some help, and or even strangers, when they cross my path, you know what? I bless them. I said, Lord, help them. Help them to know Jesus Christ in a very personal way. So what it means, my brothers and sisters, it means this. Learn how to see and seize divine moments in our daily encounters. Because we never know, as ambassadors of Christ, when we can bless these people. Secondly, from this encounter over here, it also reminds us to be thankful people of God. Verse 15 to 18 talks about how this nine people, Jews, they should be very grateful people, children of God, but instead they were not very grateful. But only one came back to be thankful. According to Forbes magazine, last year published an article about there are seven scientifically proven benefits of gratitude that will motivate us to give thanks throughout the year. And the author listed seven benefits. One is that gratitude opened the door to more relationships. Yes or no? True? Gratitude improves our physical health. Gratitude improves our psychological health also. It also improves our empathy and reduces aggression. People with grateful attitude also sleep better. Wow, might be a cure for a good night's sleep, huh? And also increase our mental health. Now, people can make this scientific observation, how being positive and having a thankful heart can have such a good effect on us. How much more as Christians, as children of God, that we need to continue to express that. In Psalms chapter 103, says this. Psalms 103. 103 verses 1 to 5 says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my innermost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, and heals all your who forgive all our sins and heals all your diseases and redeem our lives from the pit and crown us with love and compassion and satisfy our desire with good things so that your youth renew like the eagles." So in other words, over here the scripture says, reminds us not only to be thankful to God, but God himself will also bless us with that kind of thankful heart. So what does that mean, my dear brothers and sisters? Pray that we will have a thankful heart so that when we walk around, we will be quick to say thank you for what you have done. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done in my life. And thirdly, and finally, not only that having that thankful heart that we can learn from the story here also, but God desires us more than just physical healing. The nine Jews receive their physical blessings, but only one person came back and he received more than just the physical blessings. He also came up here, if you look at that, it says, verse 16, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Verse 17 says, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you whole. This Samaritan did not only receive physical blessings, but he also received spiritual blessings. One received a temporal blessings, the other one received eternal blessings. God not only wants to bless us, temporal blessings, but also more so, he wants to bless us eternal things. And the reason being, over here, he took time and returned to God because he came back to thank God. He also discovered another thing. He discovered the Savior himself, Jesus Christ. He discovered the God whom he had been missing in his life. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, we must not be satisfied with God's blessings of job, good jobs, of healing, of a good marriage, of all the possessions that he has blessed us with. They are good. They are all these things are good. But we need to go beyond that and ask this question. God, you have blessed me with all these riches, whether it is emotional, financial, and all this thing here. God, what do you want me to do with it? So that I will not only receive these physical blessings, but use these physical blessings to bless others. If that happens, then we can see what the scripture all reminds us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all this thing will be what? Added unto you. This Samaritan leper, he realized that God did not only bless him with physical blessings, but also with eternal blessings. Let us therefore do the same. So what does it mean, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ? John chapter 6, verse 26 and 27 says, I tell you the truth, you are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, Jesus says, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Jesus said, do not work for the food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Praise God for those of us who continue to seek God. The blessings of God will continue to flow to us also, whether it is physical, whether it is in terms of possession. So let us therefore, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, be the Samaritans, being remembered for ages because of what he did. Whether it is in the church, outside the church, we want to become that Samaritan. To not forget to bless God and having a thankful heart, but God, to realize also to seek God and His kingdom. Because we know that when we do that, the rest will follow also. So for those of you who are continuing to trust God, looking for physical healing, or those who are looking for to trust God for future, it might be a future in terms of your career, or it might be for future partner. Or for those of us who are looking for God for direction in terms because you are going through crisis, remember the Samaritan over here. They will, when we continue to trust God, God will have his way of opening ways. So what does it mean, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ? Know your God. And the Lord, who you know, will continue to guide you, give us all the wisdom and power. So those of you who do not know Jesus Christ, I would like to invite you to experience what the Samaritan experienced. Not only the healing power of God, the personal knowledge of the God who is eternal. Shall we pray? For those of you who do not know Jesus Christ, I would like to invite you to come and invite Jesus Christ to become your personal Savior and Lord. Please, if you are interested in doing that, please pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive my sins. I invite you now to become my Savior and my Lord. Thank you for giving me eternal life and making me your children, making me your child. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Remember, if you make that simple prayer of faith, Jesus Christ has come into your life and he is now the Lord and Savior of your life. You do not need to invite him again into your life. Thank you.